For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What did you make of the Bears general manager Ryan Poles telling the Sun-Times about retaining coach Matt Eberflus? Here's the quote. With the media, it's just weird how the record is held against Matt, but the progress is given to me. He's been in this, coaching his butt off, maximizing the talent we have. That's the big thing. Are we maximizing what we have? To me, it was, yes, end quote. Your reaction to that comment?
That was a really good story by Jason Leisure on Ryan Poles and his role in all of this. That comment was very interesting because it does have an element of truth to it. We hold Matt Eberflus responsible for his record and tend to give a lot of credit to Ryan Poles, although he has received his fair share of criticism. He's just made some moves of late over the last year and a half that have been favorable for the Bears, set themselves up quite well, and also includes probably one of the biggest trades and best trades in Bears history. So that's why. What I think is also interesting about that story is that Ryan Poles used language like legacy and legendary if you win in Chicago. And that was what appealed to him about the job. He'd used the terms legacy and legendary. He sounded like one of us, okay? So the weird media that he described as attaching the L's to Flusi and the wins to him, he sounded like a media member putting his potential success in the context of being a legendary figure in Chicago. But he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. If the player he drafted leads the Bears to a Super Bowl, just one, fellas, you don't need to talk about multiple championships, just one, he's a legend. And that's what's at stake here. That's the beginning of something special. That's why there's all the hype about Sunday, because the anticipation that this is not only the start of a season, but the beginning of an era.
Yeah, that quote really stood out to me. I thought it was really interesting. And Ryan Poles seems like the type of boss that you'd want to have, the type of partner you'd want to have. And speaking of Ryan Poles, see this weekend he was down in Atlanta for Clemson and Georgia, and then he was at Texas A&M Notre Dame. So he and Cunningham still, you know, wearing out Air Force McCaskey and wearing out, putting their carbon footprint out there, but catching Bear Force One, catching a lot of college football and still working. And even with the, you know, like the last weekend before like the real work starts, he was still out there grinding it out. You know, a lot of kudos to Ryan Poles.
Yeah, kudos to Ryan Poles because he's put together a good team that was talented. I don't think anybody was saying, wow, Ryan Pace is doing a great job. Isn't this amazing to see the team that he's putting together? I think that depending on how players play is how you react to it. As far as the coach catching a lot of grief while you're losing, hey, doesn't he put the coaching staff together? Didn't they have to get rid of two coaches in season? I mean, the media is not being weird if they notice that the guy's handpicked defensive coordinator, his buddy, is the guy that had to be let go or had to depart under mysterious circumstances. Come on now. That's not strange in any way. And I think that it's great that Matt Eberflus ended up kind of sealing his position with the team by coaching so well on defense last year. But the idea that he had to do that is a little bit suspicious, and that's why, one of the reasons why he was kind of looked at askew. I think that the general manager has done a really good job, and if he keeps improving the team, then that's just going to put more pressure on the coach to win. So the Bears have not won yet, but they look like they're poised to do so, and I think we're celebrating all of that. But you know, it's weird. Be very careful about how much blame you want, because you'll get yours, believe me. If it doesn't work out, you'll be looked at in the same fashion. You haven't won yet. You got to get there first.
I think he was trying to defend his coach.
I think he definitely was. That's all he was doing.
And his decision maybe to stick with him. The other part of that quote or that part of that story was
not hiring the offensive coach.
Yeah, resisting the offensive-minded head coach. And he even acknowledged it would have been a more popular decision. I think he's assuming that it would have been a more popular decision depending on who you hired.
Well, I also think that it may have been the correct decision depending on who you have to fire. If you end up having to fire the coach in another year or two, then we're going to wonder why did you start the engine without having everybody together. It's still a legitimate question as to whether or not you have the long-term answer. I hope it works out, and I think that we think differently about Matt Eberflus than we did a year ago. But if they have a losing season somehow, and there's a lot of different ways that can happen. But if that were to happen, pressure is not going anywhere.
Yeah, so that's true for a lot of coaches.
Let's watch it unfold.
Yeah, it's true for a lot of coaches as we sit here before their first game. But there's ample reason and justifiable reason to believe that the Bears
are in a position to take
advantage of that, and they have turned a corner.
Yeah, but don't get too puffy-chested about it yet.
Did you read it that way? Did you think he was puffy-chested?
No, I didn't read it that way. I didn't think so, but I do think that if you look at what he said, like, well, I don't know why I don't. Why do I get all the credit? Like, it's almost, I don't know. You'll get the credit if you win. We're not there yet. I think there's a lot of excitement, but that can go either way. You know, expectation, if met, is wonderful. Expectation not met creates major issues. That's all I'm saying. I just want to get there. Let's see them win. Let's get to it. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I want him to lean on the talent around him. And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special. And balancing that. And then sometimes it's going to get out of whack one way or the other, but always come back to that. It's kind of like that neutral place where you...
When you're not strong, and I'll be your...
That was Ryan Poles talking about his expectations for how Caleb Williams can begin to ingratiate himself into the NFL. Makes a whole lot of sense, but I'm greedy. I'm greedy. I want him to know everything he's got around him and say, okay, I'll lean on him when I want to.
I think that you're looking at it the wrong way.
All right.
I think that when you hear Ryan Poles talking about that, and we'll hear Matt Eberflus talk about it in a little bit, I think what they're trying to do is you don't have to do it by yourself.
I know. What if I want to?
It might not be the best way to go about winning football games in the NFL.
Yeah, you've never seen anything like me before.
Considering last year proved that it wasn't a great way for them to do things at USC.
Well.
So... You've got guys. Like, this isn't the situation that Justin Fields found himself in early on, and it's not with Mitch Trubisky. Like, there are dudes out there, and they have a lot of experience.
And I understand Ryan Poles needs to say he put the roster together. He spent a lot of money.
He did.
He spent a lot of money to put this roster together, and Caleb may say, thank you. Thanks for doing that. Appreciate it. But let me cook.
Well, why don't we hear what his coach has to say about the idea of Caleb leaning on his teammates?
It's exciting. It really is. I'm excited to see him, and I'm excited to lean on his teammates. You know, lean in and lean on his teammates, because that's what you have to do as a quarterback. You know, he's got guys around him that have played a lot of years. And again, he's a rookie. So he's just been leaning on those guys and, you know, getting the ball to those guys and let them do their work. We have to do a good job of protecting him. And but yeah, he's just leaning in and leaning on his teammates.
Well, it sounds to me like Caleb Williams, when you hear him, is very much on message.
I've said this since, you know, I've come here. We got a top five defense. We just drafted a punter in the fourth round, I believe. You know, we got Cairo, Cairo's Mr. Santos. We have this, like I said, this amazing defense. We got special guys, wide receiver. We got a special running back. Our offensive line, I believe, in our run game has been like top five in the past 2 or 3 years. It's what I said when I was first drafted, or around that time, of, you know, I'm going to do whatever I need to do for my team to win. And, you know, that's, like I spoke about earlier, handing the ball off, leaning on my guys. If that's dropping back, throwing the ball 30 times, that's doing that. It's leaning on my talent. I'm not trying to do anything special. And then, you know, when those moments happen, when those moments come up, you know, third downs, into games and things like that, obviously, you know, there's some routine plays. But, you know, a lot of times those moments are times where, you know, it's time to be special. Understanding the leaning on your guys, and also understanding the right situation to go and, you know, do special things on the field. There's a certain balance that you have to find, and, you know, we've been working our tail off. I've been working my tail off to try and find it. It's been great. It's been fun.
I have, the more I've been thinking about it, and I think a lot about the Aaron Rodgers comps. And when I watch Caleb Williams and watch the ball come out of his hand, I think about Aaron Rodgers. But you know what else I think of? Creating and recognizing the free play. Of not just recognition is important, and that awareness is important when it's noisy and the wind is blowing, and just knowing it and being and understanding. But it's also using your cadence. And we know he's behind on that.
Right, and we have that's the scale.
That's going to take time.
Scale from zero to Aaron Rodgers on effectively using your cadence as a weapon.
But when it comes to these moments to be special, that is a do whatever you got to do, young man. Like, off schedule, you got a freebie, then go crazy. Go ahead. And it's the more of those you can get, the more of those. It's like someone hands you a free spin of the Wheel of Fortune. You walk into a casino.
Wheel of Fortune! It's like,
here you go. Here's your little free drink, or your free spin, or your free this. Those adding up over the course of a season, the number of times you can say, hell yeah, I'll take a shot. He's down there somewhere. Rome's down there somewhere. Keenan Allen's down there somewhere.
Ah, speaking of Keenan Allen, he spoke on this subject too.
Winning. At the end of the day, and you know, no matter who the quarterback is, you want to win. And you know, I wouldn't rather be with another guy right now than Caleb. You know, I think he showed great. I don't know what's it called. He's gotten better ever since we've started. And you know, I think the confidence is through the roof.
Keenan, what have you seen specifically with his work ethic behind the scenes over the months that you've been here? What kind of worker has he been?
Yeah, I think he's been great. Like I said, he's gotten better, you know, ever since OTAs when we first started. And, you know, just seeing him just kind of get the terminology, the huddle calls, how to change the plays and everything. I think he's did a great job.
You've been around young quarterbacks like Justin, obviously. How is this different? Both really high picks. Obviously, he's the first overall pick.
Yeah.
Like, how is Caleb special?
His confidence. You know, he's always been the guy. You know, and when we first had Herbert, he wasn't really the starter going into week one. So that's the difference. And, you know, he's always been the guy. So he's always had the expectation of playing at that level that we play at. So, you know, I think he's ready for it. I think he's up for the task. And like I said, his confidence is good.
Coaches have said since he's gotten here, like, to lean on the talent around him. How have you noticed from the very beginning to where you're at now, him being able to delegate to you guys and maybe not trying to take on too much on his own, which might have been something he was accustomed to at other
points. Yeah, well, we were just talking last night. He wants to get the ball out of his hands, you know, just get it into our hands, the playmakers, the talent that Coach is talking about, and, you know, just let everything happen for itself instead of trying to wait on plays that aren't really there and, you know, try to create your own plays. That's how you fall into mistakes and fall behind the downs and stuff like that. So just try to get us the ball early and let us work.
He goes into scramble mode, and his first instinct is, I'm still looking to pass. As a receiver, how do you have to, I mean, trying to get open and stay open, how does that change what you have to do in that moment?
I mean, you just stay alive. You know, at any time he can roll out and make a pass, and, you know, that's kind of when he's at his best, when he's off schedule, throwing those crazy passes off one leg, you know, turning around and stuff. So you just got to stay alive and, you know, just expect it.
I love the whole concept of, I just want to get the ball out of my hands. Like, let's not play around. We got guys that can make plays. Get them the ball and let them make plays.
Run X glance.
Oh, I'd love to see that. Now, there's your Aaron Rodgers play.
Yep.
That's the play as a Bears fan that you dread.
You can always see
like,
it coming.
Right, 3rd and 8. You're like, okay, we got a negative play. Got a little stop there, made the tackle first try. Okay, 3rd and 8. Now. And then you're going, oh, not the slant.
Oh, no, and then it's you look at the top of the screen. Oh, the corner's playing too far off. Oh, God, Devontae is going to, yep. There it is, first down.
I almost swore.
Every time.
But that it is, right. And it's usually from the top of your screen, move, and you're like, ow! Oh,
of course. Of course, he hits that for 9 yards on 3rd and 8.
And he's wide open because all he does is angle his free release, and he's got the defender shielded off, and it's wait, hitch, bang. God darn it.
Yeah.
Again.
Maybe the Bears will be doing that to other people. That's There's DJ Moore. Boom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we didn't even mention DJ Moore. Remember him?
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
He's really good at football.
Oh, yeah, he's pretty good.
He's
too.
Another one of their guys that are really good at football.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got locked up for a long time.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, let's get on the record, Eddie. Okay? I want to know what you think, and Shane and Tanny, if you want to hop in and get in here, let's get on the record. First of all, on wins. I think this is a 10-win team. So I'm going 10-7 on the Bears. Where are you officially on this? As we can hold you to this and play it back for you on December 12th.
December 12th, after we talk Jingle All the Way, just to be clear. I'm going 9.
You're
just
going 9.
Under the win total, it's at 9.5.
Yeah.
But still a good record, still a winning record, 9-8.
Really? Why do you hate the Bears?
I don't hate that. I get accused of that
of
sometimes.
Of course you do.
I just like, I'm just cautiously optimistic. You know, you just get your heart broken so many times.
Yeah.
But when I see something that makes me see green and I'm just all speeds ahead, like, you know, I'll probably say 12.
Eddie hates the Bears and dogs, by the way.
Oh,
hates
no.
Dogs.
Does we
he's
didn't
not
have to
good
do
at
this.
Petting dogs. He,
You're going to do this here?
I don't know.
In the sporting goods store?
People want it.
He's
people
got a dog
want,
walk podcast.
They also call him Red Ed Speaks,
no,
by the way.
Speaks.
Yeah.
This is
like communism.
Unbelievable.
No.
Yeah.
This is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, when we did this, when the schedule was released, I jokingly said they were going 17-0.
You
but
did.
I think 12. I'm trying to look at this optimistically. I'm trying to be a fan, but also keeping some kind of realistic expectations. If Caleb Williams hits his ceiling, this is a 12 or 13 win team. Assuming health, and no, you can't assume health, but I'm doing it, that's a 13 win team. These are the three best. It's the best wide receiver room in the NFL. If Roma Dunze is what people think he's going to be,
it's
and if
right
Keenan Allen's
there.
Healthy, it is the number one wide receiver room in the NFL.
The Eagles with A.J.
Brown
and Devontae Smith, and now they added Jahan Dotson.
Yep.
That's a pretty darn good room.
Miami's still very strong.
Oh, Miami extremely strong.
Yeah, Waddle, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, but assuming everyone hits their ceiling, which won't happen. It doesn't happen anywhere.
Green Bay has six different wide receivers that are in their first 3 years that all seem to be good and interchangeable, and it makes me crazy.
Yep.
12-5.
Tanny, where are you? Have you allowed the optimism to live inside
you?
Well,
sir? It's waned. Like, you know, when we did that initial prediction segment very early after the draft, I was also at 12 because I was just going by the schedule, win, loss, win. You know what I mean? But after just looking at the conference as a whole, I don't see that. I think I'm right there with Eddie with 9 wins. I think they have not done anything really to make me feel better about the offensive and defensive line, because I just kind of assumed that they would, that would shake out in a way that made me, like, you know, get me back to that 12 win mark, but I don't see that happening right now. And that's not a knock to them, but I just think the division's really tough. I have Green Bay winning the division and Detroit taking a slight step back with that, you know, hangover from last year, but they're still better than the Bears. So I think I just don't know how they're going to get 12 wins in this division and this conference.
Yeah, you don't. You look at power rankings at this point of the year, most top fives have the Packers and the Lions in them, which gives you an idea of what they're actually trying to do here.
It's points and takeaways for me. They're going to score a lot of points because Caleb's going to throw the ball a ton, and DeAndre Swift is a hell of a lot better than people give him credit for, and Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert are still killer tailbacks. But then also takeaways. This is the best secondary in the NFL.
Did I groan out loud?
You groaned out loud.
Both of them. Herbert's got the breakaway speed, but I don't trust him to block anybody. And then Roschon hasn't he can break a few tackles here and there, but Roschon doesn't have the breakaway speed. I have serious doubts about the quality of running back depth.
Are you going Velus Jones RB2?
No, but I could see them headed that way at some point.
They're going to score a lot of point speeds, and they're going to take the ball away a ton. They're going to set a record for team interceptions.
All right, so Shane's on 12. He's on 12.
Maybe 13.
I'm going to need you to look up that record for team interceptions so you can actually think about that. Are we going to have Robbie do it? Robbie, could you type furiously at that? And also, have you found out anything having to do with Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson is limited. He was limited today.
Okay. Mentally.
Someone stuffed Shane an oversized Weber grill with these takes. What are we doing here? I mean, this is crazy.
Dude, but that's what this is about.
13
Like,
wins?
I'm not going to be measured. I'm not going to put a microphone to my mouth and be measured. It's not gotten me anywhere.
But let me not be measured. I just want to see something. Like, if we come out and we beat the Titans' ass, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Like, all speed ahead.
Right, but we don't have the opportunity to watch that game just yet.
Toughest opponents aren't until they don't have to play either of them for the first time until week 11.
Yeah, they don't touch
between
don't
the Packers
later.
And Lions.
And I don't think 9 wins is like that's not a bad year. Like, it depends how they get there. Like, if they can finally beat Green Bay for once, and you know Caleb stays on the field the entire time, and they realize like, okay, we know where our clear upgrades have to be this offseason.
Yeah.
I'd be thrilled with 9-8 if they did it the right way and made progress in significant things like beating the Packers once.
So is 9-8 a sneak into the playoffs for you or no?
No. I've got the Eagles, the Rams, and the Lions as those wild card teams.
I've got the Bears as the final wild card. I've got 3 playoff teams in this division.
I think 9-8 will sneak into the playoffs because it's all going to be how you stack up against the division. You're fighting for that second spot at 9-8, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So hopefully this is the year we take down the Packers.
That would be delightful. Yes. All right. I'm wondering who's going to lead this team in receiving. Who's going to lead this team in receiving yards? And who's going to lead this team in catches? I'm going DJ Moore. As much as I respect Keenan Allen, and Keenan Allen here in the contract year, I think it's DJ Moore by catches and by yards. I'll go with him for both.
Yeah, it's chalk, but it's DJ. It's DJ. I think Keenan's going to have a good year, but he's going to be more like a 3rd-and-8, big first down, right at the sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so confident that Rome's going to step in and be awesome right away.
So let's go first and second. So I got DJ 1, I got Keenan Allen 2nd in receiving yards on this team.
I like that. I like that, too. I'm with you on that, too.
Okay.
But DJ is my pick.
Okay.
I love Caleb's ability to scramble. And I love Cole Kmet's ability to get open when he sees Caleb scrambling. I don't think Cole's number one. I think Rome is number one because he is going to be a top 5 route runner in the NFL this year. He has an incredible ability to run routes, and him and Caleb are going to be on page 1 together from day 1. Cole's number 2. Cole Kmet will have a monster year.
So you've got Rome 1.
And Cole 2. And then DJ Moore. And then I, because I don't.
DJ 3 is the craziest part of boxing.
That is the craziest
part. But I don't trust Keenan Allen to stay healthy. I don't, because he never has.
Well, he had 13 games played last year, set the Chargers' record for reception. But the four games he missed were due to the heel injury, and it's the same heel injury that has him limited here in week one. So at age 32, or is it 33 already? I think it's 32 for Keenan Allen. It's an understandable fear. But DJ has the third ranked in terms of catches and yards.
I just think they're going to be that good, Speaks. Yeah. They're going to be that good. Yeah, they're going to be sharing the ball a ton, but they're going to be that good. By the way, 1961 Chargers, 49 team interceptions. Yeah, so, I think Jalen could have 49
interceptions.
Yeah, Jalen could have 49.
Is that Dick Knight Train Lane?
No, but he is
Robbie,
number
could
one.
You look that up for Dick Knight
He's
Train?
Number one of all time, but team interceptions, Chargers, 1961, 49.
Okay. Spiggs, what almanac were you reading growing up? You know, that guy named Dick Knight Train Lane?
All of them. Seriously, every almanac that there was.
Yeah. Eddie, we talked about him losing his virginity in 2005.
Yeah, true.
This is why. True. Seriously, dude, I grew up with the baseball encyclopedia in the house, the most giant and ridiculous book, and would just, like, sift through that. But, like, all those books, man, great wide receivers of the 1970s. I mean, that was on the bookshelf 100%. And
Spiggs, did you have the NFL pictorial history? It came out, like, in the early 80s. My grandfather had that book, so yeah, I knew about Dick Knight Train Lane. And that's the first time I ever saw the Y.A. Tittle photo. You know?
Oh, with the blood?
Yeah.
The blood coming out. Oh, yeah. That's a good stuff. Absolutely had that. And The Game and the Glory was the big baseball book that I had with, like, that's where I learned about Shirley Povich, the old time baseball writer, who was indeed the father of Maury Povich. Thanks, everybody. Good night. All right. We'll see you later. Yeah, it's true. All right, Tanny, who you got for number one and number two on the receiving yards and catches?
I've got Keenan Allen at number one. I think this will be a good year for Caleb Williams, but I think because he gets that good year, I think one of the things he'll be able to do is find Keenan Allen early and often, extending those drives. And, like, he's the only guy that's going to probably ask for the ball and actually get it whenever he wants it. So I think Caleb will do the thing that a rookie quarterback should do and lean on his possession receiver. So I think Keenan Allen is going to be the number one receiver in terms of yardage and catches this year. And DJ being number two. I think Rome's going to struggle a little bit because there's, you know, only one football out there, and rookies tend to not do so great in that regard when they're not the number one option. So, yeah, I like Keenan Allen and then DJ.
So, you know, it's interesting. Someone, I forget who it was. Was it Anthony Herron? It was one of my myriad co-hosts over these last 3 weeks. Had me thinking about the Rome Odunze touchdowns over. That Rome, with his ability to do the contested catch, that Caleb, with his desire to look for Rome and the trust that they seem to be developing, that maybe not the yards over, but the touchdown over for Rome. And that makes a lot of sense.
I could see that. If there's a lot of red zone opportunities and you have the guy with the most freakish athletic ability out of all those guys, you know, yes, getting opportunities, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, if he knows where the line is in the back corner. By the way,
top corner is going to be on DJ. So,
yes. You know,
and that.
Yeah, he's gonna have a nickel on him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying Cole Kmet. He's gonna have a linebacker on him in every single set. It's gonna be a linebacker and a safety over the top, maybe.
By the way, be sure to check out FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app and use it for FanDuel's Double Your Winnings for all Sunday, September 8th. That's this Sunday. All the pregame money line bets. There's a special Profit Boost, and it's going to be live starting tomorrow, the 6th of September. View your account page now to learn more about your Profit Boost. All right, sacks leader. We'd all bet chalk on Montez Sweat. Who's second in sacks on the Bears?
A Mark Anderson-esque rookie season. Austin Booker.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I love the Mark Anderson reference.
Yeah, I mean, 12 sacks. I believe that's still a Bears record for a rookie.
With Adewale Ogunleye on the other side getting all the attention.
Similar situation. I don't know how long it's going to take Booker to, you know, take these snaps away from Walker and whatnot, but I think that's my bold take. I'm going double digit from Austin Booker. I'm buying all the stock. All the stock.
Double digit sacks double for digit. Austin Booker.
Double digit.
That's a very good sign. If that happens, that is a very good sign.
Yeah.
Right? Because it also means that they're leading a lot, and teams are trying to pass a lot to come back on them, and there's a lot of attempts, and there's enough snaps to go around for them. That would be a very good sign.
I'm going
to
give you something off the wall. This is not going to be a popular pick. I love Kyler Gordon. Kyler Gordon is fast. Kyler Gordon is a good tackler. Matt Eberflus is going to be aggressive. Kyler Gordon's going to have... 8 or 9 sacks.
Oh, but that's a lot.
I know. But
yeah,
this isn't time to just like say the chalk thing. I'm going out on a limb on purpose, but I love Kyler Gordon.
I like the nickelback blitz. I do like the nickel blitz, and we've seen it a couple of times. Kyler's a strong finisher.
He thrives in that he situation. Does.
The nickelback blitz. The last time I went and saw them, like the people run up to the front of the venue to try to get in the front row. They call that the nickelback blitz.
That's what they do. And then it's a dance. That's also the name of the
dance. I'm telling you, though, this oversized Weber grill, you just lock Shane in it whenever he says something dumb. Like, there's something to it.
Dude, I wouldn't spend any time outside of the grill.
The real big one. The real big giant kettle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, their Komodo. Like, ooh, I want one of those Komodos.
Yeah, you know
so
what he would do? He'd wire a microphone into that thing.
He probably would.
And then we're just screwed.
I still find a way to get
Tanny, who's second in sacks on this team?
How about someone that's maybe not on the roster currently, you know, which is my big concern. Like, I think they make a trade for someone and like that's not good. Like, you know, if I have to pick someone on the roster, I'm going to say new score guy, TJ Edwards, you know, but I don't know where this pass rush is coming from. Like, I think Eflus will get creative with some of the blitzes, and that's why it's going to be a linebacker right behind Sweat with the sacks. But I think they know that they're going to have to maybe acquire someone. Other than that, it's going to be spread out and not as much as I would like personally. But I'm going to say they trade for someone who ends up being number 2 in sacks.
How good would have Hassan Reddick looked on this team?
Yeah, I mean, crazy. Or Matthew Judon.
Yeah.
You know, they knew
that,
it.
That's an interesting option, right? What about that Jets contract situation? Did that ever, you know, get rectified here? You know, is that something that maybe he could hit the open market?
Yeah, but they're going to be on the lookout for stuff like that. They're going to be on the lookout for stuff like that as the deadline approaches. I mean, clearly they already threw some draft capital at the two defensive linemen. They're going to stay on the lookout for stuff like that.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Who leads this team in interceptions?
Tyrique Stevenson. I really believe in him now because he had so many times where he had balls in his hands and he just dropped it. So he's my pick.
I like it. I'll go Jalen. I think Jalen capitalizes on what he's done, and that might mean coming off his man every once in a while to get that done with a little more aggression than he's had.
I think Jaquan Brisker is going to realize that he doesn't need to go for the hit first every single time like he did last year. He's a hard hitting safety, but I think Jaquan Brisker is going to have a year of the ball hawk. I think he leads the team in interceptions because they don't throw the ball at Jalen enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to have enough opportunity. He just won't. He didn't last year. He won't this year.
Tanny, you got a pick for interceptions?
Because of that, you know, because they won't throw a Jalen on it, I do like the Tyrique Stevenson pick by Eddie, but just for the sake of just having a different name out there, I'll show some love to Kyler Gordon. I think Kyler Gordon has a big year in that regard.
So there we go. All right, we're on the record. Anything else that I missed that we should get in on in terms of Bears predictions? Eberflus for Coach of the Year. I got him early for it. 9-8, get him Coach of the Year? No. 10-7, get him Coach of the Year? There's a chance. Probably not still, though.
Yeah, probably not.
It's going to be tough, especially if the Chargers win 10 games and they make it. I can see them just giving it to Harbaugh. But if the Bears make the playoffs and they win 10 games, Eberflus is 1,000% of the discussion.
I think there's a lot more pressure this year on Tremaine Edmonds. I think he's got to step up big time. I mean, he was serviceable last year, and like, you didn't feel his absence. Like, you didn't think we're getting screwed because Tremaine's leaving a hole in the middle of the defense, but I think he has to be a presence.
Let's throw open the phone lines here at 312-644-6767 and take your calls on Score Afternoon. You got thoughts on these predictions? Want to make some of your own? You can hop in with me, Spiegs, and him, Eddie from Barstool. It's Stoolies and Scoreheads hanging out together on 670 The Score. Some people have come by the rally house. I'm trying to figure out if they're Score people or Barstool people or merely folks that work here that are just hanging out with media backgrounds and want to, you know, talk to us and take our jobs.
Yeah,
trying to figure that out.
How much is that 7-foot inflatable Clark the Cub going for?
I don't know. Let's find out. Let's find out. And then also coming up later this hour, we got to put names in a hat and see if we can come up with a good name to put on the back of a jersey for Connor O'Donnell. Texter Sean suggests Mango 83 for Connor. Now that's, I might have to go with that. I might have to co-opt that on behalf of the Texters. Keep hanging out on Score Afternoons here on 670.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the Hall of Famer himself. Mark Brody joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Aturo.com. Mark, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I am doing great, Mully. Haw, I hope you're having a great morning as well. I have been jacked since Monday. I'll be honest with you. I was making it real on Monday when the Bears were practicing, and then to have had a Wednesday and a Thursday of game week wow. after this long preseason where we've all been presenting this very talented team. But it's time, guys. It's time to see what this whole thing looks like.
Gordy, you sound like you're shot out of a cannon. You are ready today. Hey, I got to ask you a question. It has nothing to do with the game, but I'm a little concerned. Do you know anything about this? I'm looking down outside the window on Lake Street here. The Staley Mobile is parked. That means what? Staley is in the neighborhood. Do you know, is Staley making a stop by the studio? Or where is Staley? Why is he in downtown Chicago?
I was not aware of this. My sources have let me down. I don't know why Staley is in town, but I do know the Bears have been known to throw parades before openers. I think it was, 2019 when buses were flocking down Michigan Avenue for a Monday night game with the Bears and Mitch Trubisky in his first, coming off the playoff game, and this is going to be it, and then an absolute dud. I don't know why I just went to the dud zone, but I did. I took Staley to the dud zone, and I feel bad about it now. So
yeah, I got
it just happened. Yeah.
That guy's turned down so many interviews. We've tried to have him on.
I know.
He won't say a damn word to us.
Not a word. He's got his own car.
He's got nothing to say.
He's got his own car.
This guy. That's what I say to him. When I see him, I'm like, oh, you. Oh, this guy. That guy. Yeah.
Cops pulled him over. You know what he said? Nothing. What?
Nothing. Not a word. Doesn't have to. Just puts it. He's like, kind of giving the I can't talk. I'm not allowed to talk. What a great gig.
He goes to get his license. He's not even wearing trousers.
I will be at Hallis Hall for the Friday procedures. There will be open locker room. I will sniff around wherever every right. corner of the building
That's
to
good.
Find out what's going on with Staley the Bear, Haw.
Well, let's get to the chase.
This out,
let's cut to the chase, Grody. What's your prediction on Sunday before we get to some of the nitty-gritty details?
Uh-oh. Wow. Okay. I was warned. Brandon Fryer said, just be ready. They might ask you for a prediction. And I said, you know what? I always have a Bears prediction in my pocket. So, yes, I am going to go. Yeah, I do think the Bears are going to win this game. I do think it's going to be close, though. And I know that's, wow, what a revelation to call a close game in the NFL. I think it's going to be Bears 20 and Tennessee 17. I think it's going to be a slog. I think it's going to be sloppy. I don't think this is going to be the game where you're going to see Caleb Williams throw for 350 and four touchdowns. I think more like maybe he gets to 200 yards, but I think it'll be strong running. It'll be conservative passing. And just, guys, just based on what I've seen in Bears quarterback openers through the years, based on what I've seen in everybody's NFL openers through the years, not last night withstanding, it can be a little bit slow and sloppy at first, especially when you have a first-time quarterback. And I don't care how great Caleb Williams is, this will be the first time he plays a full game against a defense which has bad intentions towards the quarterback. So I am not expecting anything perfect from Caleb Williams in this first game, but a Bears win.
So you're betting the under, and you're going with the Titans to cover. Okay. I got
If that's what it is, Molly, then that's what it is.
That's
I appreciate
is.
You.
Yep.
Yes. Thank
that's
you for
fine.
Tightening my pick up a little bit.
I appreciate that. I like it. It's a good pick. I'm just curious, as you look at the importance of this game to the season itself. I mean, teams will have a jump after a game. It's not like you win or lose a season early. But given the fact that they're on the road down in Houston in week two, this becomes – you've kind of got to make a little bit of a statement. You've got to open your season correctly. You just want to make sure you're not going through what happened last year.
Yeah, I mean, they have, I think one of the overriding themes of this entire preseason is and they haven't been obnoxious about it, just when we ask them the questions, they have put a premium on and not letting what happened to them last year occur this year. So much of the way they have gone about their business with who they have played and who they have not played during the preseason, getting this roster set as it is, they know that they have to have a fast start, and you're you're right. It almost feels unfair to be considering week one a must win. And I don't know if we want to attach those sort of words to it. But if you do want to get this season off to the right start, then, yeah, you have to win this game. Because, yeah, they're all bets are off for the Houston game on the road and some of these other tough games that are going to occur on your schedule. So, yeah, this becomes – and I think symbolically, too, it's important just for Bears fans to not look at this rendition of the Bears and say it's the same old. Like, you go back to all of these – back to Jay Cutler and the start that he had in Green Bay, getting blown out, like, on a Monday night. Mitch Trubisky, like, sometimes threw the ball six or seven times in 2017. So it was a cold start for him. We know what happened to Justin Fields getting sacked nine times in Cleveland on the road in that game. So to get off to a win, no matter how it looks for the Bears, I do think that there is some importance attached to it, even though it is the first game.
Mark, I was impressed with Shane Waldron on Thursday at Howell's Hall. I like the way that he addressed the role expectations can play in the outcome or results. I wondered, as you listen to him, and now that you're a seasoned, you know, listener for Shane Waldron, as he's been here for 6 months, but he has yet to call plays in a game, did you glean anything from what kind of game we can expect him to call? Do you think he's going to err on the side of caution and maybe be more of an offensive coordinator asking Caleb Williams to manage the game or to take his shots?
Well, the way they're talking, it's, you know, let's be careful. Let's be conservative. Let's depend on your weapons out there. I mean, they seem to be saying that a lot in the last 3 weeks, and that's nothing new. I mean, we heard that a lot with Justin Fields last year. Get the ball to your playmakers, especially in that preseason game where everybody went crazy. And it was like, yep, that's how you do it. You get your ball to the playmakers. But there's always that caveat with this quarterback that, yes, we want you to be careful. We want you to depend on DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze and Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett and just keep naming guys. But yeah, we would like to see some of that special as well. So when the opportunity presents itself, go ahead and make that play. As far as how I think that Shane Waldron is going to call this game, I don't know how. I mean, yeah, I do think it's probably going to be, like, relative to some of the other games that he'll call this year, it probably will be somewhat conservative. But I think you could also depend on what you saw in some of these preseason games. And I think the overriding theme of it was, and the stuff that we saw in camp was, they really are, and all OCs will try to do this, but they really seem to have a good idea of what they have in Caleb Williams and how to use him and how to get him out of the pocket and when to do certain things and allow him to do certain things out on the field. So keep an eye on what you saw in the preseason. I think you'll see a lot of those concepts in these actual games.
This segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. And Mark, I wonder, hearing from Richard Hightower, who made it clear that that Velus Jones Jr. is going to return kicks and DeAndre Carter is going to be on punt returns, I wonder if what you have seen and what has been predicted with teams basically attempting to kick the ball out of the end zone, do you expect a big game from Velus, or do you think that maybe he will be irrelevant as a kick returner?
Yeah, it's a great question. I have a feeling that the Bears in week one are not going to reinvent the creativity that could potentially exist with the new kickoff rule. So my gut says, and I honestly don't have a problem. I mean, starting with the ball at the 35-yard line is not such a bad deal, you know. So I don't have the worst problem in the world with it. I will look forward to seeing how the kickoff rules evolve. I shouldn't say the rules evolve. How special teams coordinators make it evolve, or use it, or don't use it. But if you're asking me right now, yeah, Molly, my guess would be we're going to see the ball at the 35 more times than not.
Relative to the way that we have discussed the quarterback and his impact on this team, and maybe even Montez Sweat defensively and his impact on this team, Mark, is there an area of this team or a player that you think over the course of the preseason that we have generally overlooked?
I guess the way the Bears have been talking about Dominique Robinson when given the opportunity. I suppose I think it's easy to overlook him because he just hasn't done much in the first 2 years, and I think we were all willing to accept the development in the first year being that he was converted from offense to defense. But they keep talking about him. He looks great in terms of his physical condition. It is his third year. That's usually the, you know, in rookie contracts, this is the big year for him, as we're finding out with Velus Jones Jr. as well. So if I'm going to go with somebody, I think it's quietly is him, because you know, talk to people around the building on and off the record, and they are expecting, like, kind of like, hey, keep an eye on this guy. I'm just saying. I think that DeMarcus Walker, I'm very excited about him, and I know we've probably talked about him plenty, mostly because of how boisterous he is, but anybody that's asked me, and I know he's dealing with his groin issue, mm-hmm. which does concern me, but I do think he has been poised to have a good year. So I don't know if we've talked about his, you know, what he did previous to the year last year with Tennessee, interest coincidentally, and we just didn't see that last year. Now he's been healthy most of the way through. Hopefully this groin thing, you know, we're going to find out today at Hallis Hall who's in and who's out, and strong indications anyway. So I would go with those two defensive players. And man, I got to tell you, Haw, I mean, it's all those guys, you know, picking up Daryl Taylor, Austin Booker.
Yes, if you have a prediction as to how many touches Torrey Taylor will have, both as a punter and a holder.
Ooh,
it's a complicated question because it includes, you're predicting several things here.
Okay, now Brandon Fryer did not set me up for punter predictions, so I'm going to need a list of, for now on, I'm going to need a prediction list. I mean, need all
the general manager says he's the best punter he's ever seen.
Oh, yeah, so it's like...
The quarterback said they don't need him, and yet he is the holder, too. So
yeah, that's true. That complicates the prediction, Molly, because yes. It would have been easy for me to say, we're not going to see the punter on the field this week. Although, there is that want to see the punter, don't want to see the punter. Kind of want to see what the punter looks like in these real games, right? I mean, let's just do this, Molly. I think there are going to be, the Bears will punt four times.
Nice.
In the game.
Nice.
Okay. Four punts from Torrey Taylor. I already said the Bears would have, what was my pick? 24 points. So there's going to be
four times, right?
Yeah. Four times on the field.
Yeah. So eight touches.
Eight touches. There it is.
Okay.
There it is. I did it. I didn't think I was going to be able to do that. I just did a punter prediction, Molly.
Quick
see
math.
What I do?
Like it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mark, I have an assignment for you. You say you're going up to Hallis today.
What's going on?
Well, I'm very curious about this. So. We watched last night in terms of the Ravens and the Chiefs. Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle, flagged three times for illegal formation because of where he was lined up.
I know where you're going.
I think a point of emphasis by the officiating crews might be to clean it up and get guys on the line of scrimmage. I wonder if that sent a message to every team out there, but certainly in our context, the Bears, Braxton Jones, Darnell Wright, the guys who want to cheat a little bit on passing plays, which I think is kind of silly too because you give away a lot in terms of tendencies, but did that send a message? Did it resonate? Is this a point of emphasis for offensive line coaches as well?
Well, I think maybe it will be now. You know, maybe Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, will have seen what we saw last night and just be like, hey, you just want to be careful with that. I haven't heard anything like that specifically. Like, I haven't heard, I don't believe there's any questions in that to that end, but I'm sure that that exists. But I was thinking too, Haw, that you might go with the Tennessee side. They do have a rookie left tackle in J.C. Latham who could be, and not just that way, potentially be taken advantage of. But, I mean, this is a number seven. An overall pick from Alabama. He might just be great. And of course, Peter Skoronski, the Northwestern kid, who is a guard, as it turns out. And Molly's guy, Lloyd Cushenberry. I just love the name Lloyd Cushenberry, and he is the center for this Tennessee team who's making a lot of money, too.
I'm a big man for centers.
I know you are.
I am. I'm concerned.
So is Olin, your guy, Olin.
Well, that's why. I just watched Olin play, so I know how important the position is. Two things. I understand that there are no offensive linemen as captains. I'm just curious if that says anything about that room, anything that we should know about who's the leader of that room. And I'm curious also, what did Montez Sweat say when you asked him why he's not a captain?
I don't know that the sweat not a captain question came up unless I missed it with my own ears.
Why is he not a captain?
That's a good question. The only thing I can think about Montez Sweat is that he is a very free-spirited guy. And, I mean, if I'm really digging into this in real time, I mean, the stuff at the beginning of training camp where Montez Sweat was swatting the ball, and I brought that up to Montez, yeah, at my own risk, I brought that up to Montez Sweat yesterday. And I said to him, I know it's been kind of a crazy preseason for you, smacking the ball out of Caleb Williams' hands, yes, and essentially getting the talking to.
He got benched.
From Maddie. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Didn't see that in Hard Knocks. Would have been kind of neat. And had a little talking to him, and he kind of laughed when I asked him the question and said, yeah, you can't be doing that. But he also did say that they're ready to be shot out of a cannon. He had some pretty menacing words talking about what the defense is doing and how hungry they are. But in terms of why he's not a cap, I think some of that probably adds into it, quite frankly. I guess that's not leadership when you're essentially getting benched in a practice and you're a veteran player. So I don't know. That's my guess. But the players vote on that kind of stuff. So I guess maybe the players Who's the leader of the offensive line? That's such a great question. I'm going through these guys. I think, honestly, I wonder if Braxton Jones will feel a little bit more emboldened. I know he's still a developing player and he's as hard on himself as anybody, but he does have a very sensible, all those guys are, but he's a very sensible, smart human being. So I would like to see Braxton Jones be part of that. And Tevin Jenkins, potentially. Coleman Shelton is a real straight shooter too. Now, I don't know if he's been around long enough and he's got his own hands full trying to become he is the starting center of this team. So I do wonder if his voice will be heard. I don't think it's going to be Nate Davis. It doesn't appear. Darnell Wright is a very quiet guy. So I don't know. I guess maybe Braxton Jones, Molly. But as you can see me struggle through this question, it's a great question because there's really nobody who jumps off the page and like in the locker room, you see him using his voice. It doesn't exist really.
Yeah, if you have five candidates for a leader, do you really have a leader?
Right. When I'm just running through every guy trying to come up with anything and not really coming up with much, that tells you. It's a great question.
I'm
really
surprised
is.
It's not Lucas Patrick who still hangs around in the weightlifting area.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Hey, man, it's a great. Brian Poles has not gotten the center right, and that's the one thing. As good as he has been, Poles deserves a lot of credit, but that center position's got to be better this year.
Keenan Allen is 32. He's had a career that's worthy of Hall of Fame consideration already. I do wonder this, though, if he has not practiced. Are we set up for a disappointment when it comes to Keenan Allen, or what do you expect from him beginning Sunday?
I do have a weird feeling about him. He has been out there practicing. Watching him do the cone drills is usually heartening because you have to be twitchy on those, and you are using a lot of those muscles. So foot muscles, obviously. But when he was up at the podium, I think it was 2 days ago. First thing I asked him is, hey, how you doing? You feeling healthy? And the answer just wasn't convincing. It was, yeah, man, just taking it, it's day to day, man. Just kind of shaking his head. So I'm only going off, inferring from his body language when he was talking to us. But when you see him moving, it looks pretty good. I just don't have a. I think he's probably going to play. Would be my guess because I think that the Bears will do something similar to last year, where everybody's good to go, even if they're not quite good to go. I just don't know how effective he's going to be right away.
You're the best, Mark. Great fun talking to you. Love your predictions. Someone said you predicted 2017, which would mean 7 touches for the punter.
Is that what I said?
Apparently.
I had a three-point victory either way. But that's one of the things that I do bring. I will change my prediction within the course of an interview. That's something that I'd like to do every once in a while.
See you Sunday, Grody.
You're the best.
Bye, guys.
See you, buddy.
See you guys. Bye,
that
guys.
Is Mark Grody. He is our guy, and he does love to do that. And fascinating stuff.
Matt Bowen.
Two throws. This one aired out for Galloway. And with contact, it's picked off. Intercepted by Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
The ball came out. Right now they're calling fumble. Matt Bowen knocked it out.
7-year NFL veteran.
We talked about it last week a little bit, Lawrence. You know, Dan was on vacation and all that. But when you were there last week working, we talked about how...
Fight me, Bowen.
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
One of the greatest things and most rewarding things about being a high school coach is to see the impact it can have on your student athletes.
Matt Bowen with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let Matt Bowen talk. Shut up.
Matt Bowen, 7-year NFL vet, is with us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino, CircaLasVegas.com, at MattBowen41. Twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Here we go, man. Here we go. I know your football and your working in football has started a while ago, but the big expensive boys get going tonight. And I'm just, what does it feel like? What does it feel like for a player after training camp to be ready to go for something that finally matters?
Well, I think it depends on how long you've been in the league, right? When you're a rookie, you don't even really know yet, Dan, what it feels like. You have to experience that game speed in a regular season. But for a veteran player, this is why you go through training camp. Now, obviously, training camp has changed compared to when I played, but this is why you go through training camp, to get to these moments, especially if you're a team like Kansas City and Baltimore tonight, the national standalone game. You know that your peers are going to be watching. Everyone in the league is going to be watching this game as well. And there's a lot of things you still really don't know about your football team, even Kansas City. You know, team won the Super Bowl last year. You're a new team. You lose people in free agency. You have new additions to the draft. You don't really know what you totally have as a football team until you get on the field tonight.
So everyone's super excited about the season, but Bears fans are through the moon when you're talking about, like, Caleb Williams and him getting his first real opportunity to play. So what are you looking for when it comes to how he handles all of it and just settles in to play football?
The first thing, Lawrence, is protect the football. I know that sounds basic, but rookie quarterback in his first game, this isn't preseason football, this isn't Pac-12 football anymore. Can he protect the football in critical game situations? Third down, backed up inside the red zone. That's going to win or lose this game on Sunday. And that's the first thing you're looking at. You can use the term manage the game, and that's fine. But for me, the first thing is, can you manage the game and protect the football and give the Bears a chance to win? Then you get into all the other things that make him unique in terms of his talent level, right? In terms of his second reaction ability, his arm talent, his mobility, all the things we want to see on Sunday. We saw flashes of it in the preseason. But the first thing is to manage that offense, protect the football, and put them in positive positions where Shane Waldron can now dial up plays to get the ball in the end zone.
We were just talking to Dave McGinnis about how to coach against a quarterback who can throw it anywhere from anywhere. That there's no throw he can't make, no matter what his body position is, running forward, running backward, sideways, leaning in any direction. So when you say disrupt him and make him uncomfortable early, what would be a way to do that when you know you could also be putting yourself in danger?
Well, it's a great point, because with young quarterbacks, you usually say, well, if the right-handed quarterback, let's make them go to their left, right? Let's blitz them from the boundary. Let's blitz them from the field. Let's force them to go to their left when they're not as accurate. They don't throw with as much location. Well, Caleb does that, right? To your point, Dan, he does that. Doesn't matter what platform he is. He can be rolling to his left, rolling to his right. Feet could be still moving on the throw. He's a very accurate throw on the move. So for me, if I'm the Tennessee Titans, I'm going to force him to throw from the pocket. That's what I'm going to do. I don't want him to escape. I'm going to have my edges rush up the field and stop, almost like contain look. I'm going to pressure from inside, A and B gap. I want him to stand in the pocket and throw the ball down the field. Throw it into tight windows. Throw it into late coverage rotation. I want to see him do that on Sunday, because I know when he gets outside the pocket, then he becomes that natural creator with the football. Now I'm in trouble as a defense.
When you're talking to DBs in a situation like that, what's the teaching rules that go into place with a player like Caleb for the back four of Tennessee?
You have to cover longer, right? You're going to have to plaster. Use the term plaster. What that means is, think of a matchup zone in basketball, right? So when the play breaks down, the quarterback extends and escapes and gets outside the pocket. Now you have to match up down the field. If you're playing quarters or cover two, it does not matter. You have to find the nearest wide receiver in the zone and match him. And you don't know where he's going to go because now it's a scramble drill, right? And they have rules on scramble drills. Usually short routes convert vertical and opposite for vertical routes. They come back downhill. But you're going to have to plaster, you're going to have to cover longer. And know that even if you have tight coverage, he's got a very aggressive throwing mentality. He's still going to push the ball down the field.
I want to talk about that specifically with one of the new additions to the Bears, Keenan Allen. Mm-hmm. We've heard about him being a technician post-snap. And what he does is he's reading defenses as the play is going on. When you watch tape on Keenan Allen, what's made him so good at being a quarterback's best friend and his post-snap adjustments?
Lawrence, I use the term coverage awareness. And what I mean by that with the wide receivers, to your point, if they spin from single high to two high, if they show man, they drop to zone, being able to understand where the windows are, where the voids are in zone coverage, that I can sit a route down and find open grass based on defender's leverage, based on the drop of the linebacker, based on game situation. Keenan Allen for the Bears should be a top target for Caleb Williams all season on third downs, right? Third and 7-10, that's where I expect the football to go because he has that coverage awareness to find open spots in the field. And against man coverage, he understands how to set up man coverage, understands where the help is for man coverage, and again, can find those open voids or open areas to sit down and make himself available to the quarterback. That's what I'm really getting at. You have to have someone that is an outlet, that they can also make themselves available consistently, especially for a young quarterback in those critical game situations. For me, with Keenan Allen, that has to be third down.
How long does it take someone to understand that part of it? Because I don't want to say that he's alone. There are a lot of really good receivers who get it. Travis Kelce, as a receiver who was named a tight end, I think probably does it the best with his connection with Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. But I think Keenan Allen's very high on a list. And so how does a receiver figure out, that's a way that not only can I make a lot of money, but I can help us win games if I don't just always stay with what the playbook is and I figure out what defenses are doing.
It also helps you play longer in the league, right? When your skill set starts to decline, which happens to every older player, do you have something extra to add? And to me, that's the coverage awareness, also just basic instincts, right? High-level instincts, high-level football intelligence, understanding how to get loose to the quarterback. We're going to see another one on Sunday in DeAndre Hopkins, right? DeAndre Hopkins is not as explosive as he used to be, but DeAndre Hopkins can still uncover and still get open. There's so much value in that. And we've talked about this before. We go through the draft process, and we focus so much on traits, and I understand that. But eventually you have to play this game, and at the wide receiver position, eventually you have to get open. That's the name of the game. Can you consistently get open and uncover? And I think, to your point, Lawrence, that's developed over time. You have to have those instincts. Those some things you just can't teach from a coaching perspective, but it's developed over time with reps and also with chemistry with a young quarterback. So it might not be there right away with Caleb Williams, but I expect over the course of the first month of the season that is developed.
Can you explain why the Bears have under-prioritized the three technique at this point, where believing in Jervon Dexter's great, mm-hmm. but a lot of that is kind of wish-casting, and sure. and if you start looking at the range of likelihoods for his improvement, you got to go with realism, and sometimes you want to throw money at realism, because you're safer that way if you think you're going to be good, and especially when the Bears' first big, splashy free agent signing of the Poles era was Larry Ogunjobi.
Right.
And it backfired, yeah. But they explained mm-hmm. they needed an anchor at the most important spot in this defense. And then it's kind of been an afterthought. I don't get it.
No, I agree with you, especially if you're going to play heavy cover two and have six or seven in the front. That three technique is a vital position to your defense. But maybe that is, they believe, to your point, Dan, very highly in Dexter. But I also say this, look where the money went. Right now, the money is going on the perimeter. Jalen Johnson getting a new contract. I think if you talk to people in the league right now, regardless of your defensive scheme, whether you're man heavy or zone heavy, it's you have to have impact players in the perimeter, meaning the cornerback position. I think the cornerback position right now is the most impactful position on the defensive football team because of what we see from offense, because it's such an explosive play passing league, is that a lot of the money and a lot of focus is going on the perimeter. You're seeing it with a lot of teams right now because I think they believe that that cornerback, if you don't have a top-tier cornerback, and the Bears believe Jalen Johnson is a top-tier player, to match in coverage against an opposing number one, then you can be in serious trouble.
I watched a ton of Will Levis in college. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch a ton of him last year at Tennessee. What's the scouting report, and has there been growth from the player that left Kentucky to the player that's playing at Tennessee?
I think there's growth, but there's a lot more in terms of development there, Lawrence. Again, we talk about traits, the arm talent, the mobility, can attack all three levels in the pass game, can get outside of trouble. Again, a very aggressive throwing mentality. He wants to push the ball vertically down the field. I think part of his development is protecting the football, being able to take the throws that are available consistently when they are offered. I mean, look, Tennessee did some stuff this offseason to add talent around them. They went out and got Calvin Ridley. You know, that's a true number one for them. They got Tyler Boyd out of Cincinnati, who's a very quality pro football player that can play in the slot and move the sticks on third downs. They got two pass-catching running backs in Pollard and Spears now, right? So they've added some impact players around him. And also a new offensive structure with the new head coach under Brian Callahan. I think they're going to be more 11 personnel heavy. That's three wide receiver sets. And I think they're going to be more pass heavy this year. So to get to where he needs to be, I guess what I'm saying is, can he be a consistent three-level thrower? We know he has the arm talent to attack vertically, but can he be a consistent three-level thrower? And I think they've added the pieces to make that happen.
What does Caleb Williams's talent, specifically everything we've talked about, vision, mm-hmm. feet, awareness, platform change, and more than platform change, arm angle change, mm-hmm. what does it do for the screen game?
A lot. Right? It does a lot because you mentioned arm angles. He can throw around defenders that are moving upfield. That's the number one thing. Being able to complete a screen pass. And look, in practice, it's easy. It's easy in our high school practices. The running back is wide open every time. Okay, but it's not going to be that way. One, the ability to extend outside on a screen and create a positive throwing angle. To be able to throw when your feet aren't set on the screen game. And I like that you brought that up, Dan, because we talked about this last year, how the Bears running backs weren't utilized enough in the pass game. But when you sign DeAndre Swift, that tells me that the running backs are going to have a much larger impact this year as receivers. And that's what DeAndre Swift can do for you, not only in the screen game, but just backfield releases. Again, creating underneath throws for a young quarterback, high percentage throws that are catch and run opportunities.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I'm also looking forward to seeing Rome Odunze and seeing what he does and how he's used. Because I imagine that the Bears will be in a lot of 11 personnel too. Mm-hmm. It should lead to some opportunities for Rome in this game, even with Snead out there picking his poison between Keenan Allen and DJ Moore.
Right. And for me, Odunze is your boundary X. You know, when you got trips to the field, to your point, Lawrence, 11 personnel, right? Three wide receivers in the field. You got trips to the field, counting the tight end. Odunze is your backside X, and that's isolation throws. Especially when you're in the high red zone area of the field, that's where I think they'll take their shots to the end zone. That's the player I would use. You know he can make plays on 50-50 throws. He can climb the ladder. He can play above the rim. He's very good at the catch point. And those are the plays they're going to have to make this week against Tennessee when they have those one-on-one opportunities, and that's where I would really utilize him. I think it'd be a progression for him. You know, you're playing behind two proven veteran wide receivers, so he might not get the same type of target volume. But when he gets those opportunities, I think they're going to be in critical game moments, especially trying to put the ball in the end zone.
How would you suggest to Caleb, if you're Shane Waldron, now he's got a lot of weapons. He's got DeAndre Swift, Cole Kmet's a top seven or top five tight end in the league. You've got Rome. You've got Keenan Allen. You've got DJ Moore. How would you suggest that Caleb keep all of that in mind and keep everyone happy?
Play the game like a point guard. You know, be a natural ball distributor. That's how I see it. One, hit the scheme throws that are there, whether it's off play action or the quick game underneath, where the ball is supposed to go, get it out on time, especially. Be on time this weekend, but take the throws that are there. And then when you get outside of structure, that's where you can be more selective, you know, based on who the matchup you like, the level of the throw you're going to make. But I think you got to play it like a point guard because you have so many options now. This is a much different Bears offense than we've seen in a long time in terms of skill, talent, and especially in the receiving game. So I would teach him to play it like a point guard. And that's the best way I can say it.
A point guard who can also shoot a logo three.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, that's the difference. I don't want to be, you know, use point guard pejoratively.
Well, we can Steph Curry.
Yeah, when the point guard could look left, right, and be like, nah, I'm jacking it, you know?
Well, I think you're going to see some of that. I mean, because of his mentality as a thrower, I think he will take shots down the field. And that's part of his game, Dan. You want him to do that. When you have the matchup, take the shot. You know, let's see the Bears get up in the top 10 of explosive plays in the pass game this year. They have the ability to do that. That's been missing for so long. If you're an explosive play offense with the defense they have and the special teams they have, now you're talking about a really, really good football team that's hard to beat every week.
I love the addition of Byard. And I know that you know that position really well. What does he add to this defense?
Versatility for one. You know, he can play from depth. He can cover down versus tight ends, matchup, cover down the slot at times. He will tackle in the run game. He can pressure. He can be disruptive. You know, that's what you want with your safeties in today's NFL. You want the versatility where you can disguise coverages. You can spin late. You can change the picture post-snap for the quarterback. You have to have guys that can play from depth and also play underneath. Byard can do that for you. He's got the ball skills. He's got the playmaking traits. He's done that his entire career, is take the football away and show up in critical moments. And he's also a veteran player and a veteran communicator. That's not discussed enough. It really isn't. And I'm guilty of it, too, because we focus so much on traits and skills. But if you don't have a communicator in the secondary, a veteran communicator, and look, you just lost Eddie Jackson. We know Eddie Jackson wasn't the same player in terms of his skill set last year than earlier in his career. But you need a veteran communicator back there that can get people lined up, that can calm people down, that can make the checks pre-snap and understand where the ball is going post-snap. And that's what Kevin Byard brings.
Are you watching St. Ignatius tape right now?
Yes, we got them next week. Next week, we'll be down in the city next Friday night against St. Ignatius. And they are a really good football team. Really good football team that still runs the Vera. They run it better than anyone I've ever seen.
Their field that they got down there, too, is really – their practice stuff. And
oh, it's amazing.
It's really beautiful. It's got the skyline view. I might have to rejoin the sidelines for IC Catholic the next weekend.
We'd love to have you down, Lawrence. You know that. We'd love to have you over.
All right, let me ask you one last question. It has to do with your Iowa Hawkeye punter in Torrey Taylor. And I know on Hard Knocks they showed him practicing holding.
Mm-hmm.
He's never done it before.
Right.
How can it still be in the NFL? It's just holding. You're a punter. You be the holder. It doesn't have to be the punter holding.
It does not, but it has to be right. And there's so many things that go into holding. Obviously, we don't focus on that. You know, the speed of getting the ball on the ground, the angle of the ball, where your hand is, where the kicker wants it. There's so much that goes into it. If you talk to a scout, they can talk to you for 25 minutes about holding.
Yeah, that's
right. They really can't.
Yeah, I would not suggest that. If you run into a scout in the airport, don't spend 25 minutes talking about holding.
I would. I find this stuff fascinating. Look, man, I used to be on the beat covering Brad Maynard.
Oh, I know.
Watching Brad Maynard catch the ball with his eyes closed.
Magician.
Put the ball down with one hand.
He's a magician.
Like, the guys that are really great at it, when you get a chance to watch them, they make a difference. They can absolutely, in that part of it where you don't have your regular long snapper either, like that's something to pay attention to inside the game.
Also, if there's a poor snap,
it's
on the holder to make it right. Sorry, it is. And especially if you're trying to win a football game, it's a poor snap. If it's high, if it's low, you got to get the ball down and get the mechanics right so it matches up with the kicker. You're not going to make the field goal. You're not going to win the football game. So there's a lot that goes into it. But yeah, Torrey Taylor, that helps the Bears special teams. Well, you're going to see it on Sunday. This is a football team that I know the excitement around it. I know the hype around it. I can't wait to watch them play on Sunday. I know it's just one football game, but it's a good football game. This is the last thing I'll say. Denard Wilson is a new Titans defense coordinator. He was my teammate in Washington. He is a brilliant football mind, and he's coming from Baltimore. So you kind of know what you're going to get, but you kind of don't. But I do think this. I think this would be a very challenging game for Caleb Williams from a schematic perspective. So he's going to see a lot of new things from Denard's defense this weekend. I think you're going to see a lot of simulated pressures where you don't know where the fourth rusher is coming from. It could be a corner, it could be a linebacker, could be a safety. And what are they spinning to? Are they spinning to single high? Are they getting to cover two? Are they playing a trap coverage? A lot of different things that he's going to have to identify very quickly. And that's the test for him this weekend. That's the test for him against Denard Wilson, because I think he's an excellent coach. I think eventually he's going to be a head coach in this league.
Matt, as always, we appreciate you. Way to kick us off this season. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That is Matt Bowen. He will be joining us as part of our regular football coverage. More on the Bears.
Wait. Before you take us to break, Dan, are you noticing a theme from all of our friends that played NFL football?
Well, we have heard from Sean King. We have heard from now Matt Bowen, Alex Brown, all saying similar things. Keep Caleb Williams in the pocket and make him prove himself from there.
But you know what I wrote down while Matt was saying that? If he's just even decent in the pocket, when you add the other stuff.
Well, if NFL teams can be like, yeah, that plan of keeping him in the pocket isn't working. Now what?
Right.
Yep.
That's what it could be. But all of the players are telling you that that's what they're expecting. Whether it's Sean or Nate Tice,
yes.
Or Matt Bowen, that's what they're expecting to see.
Consistent theme, make him prove it from there first.
Yep.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.